Today on Bold Steps Weekend, discover the key to breakthrough and change in our lives.
You don't change by avoiding the places of pain, hurt, shame, guilt, failure, and brokenness. You only change when you're able to take those and open it up to God and say, God, here it is. I invite you into my pain, my shame, my brokenness, my difficulty. That's when breakthroughs happen in our life.
Welcome to Bold Steps Weekend with Mark Jobe, president of Moody Bible Institute and senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. I'm Wayne Shepherd. How many times have you found yourself on a wrong road or at the wrong place only to realize later that it was a divine appointment? As we begin the last message in our series, Help My Unbelief, Speaking to the Heart of Doubt, we'll be turning to John chapter 4. In this passage, Mark will be outlining how effective ministry and divine opportunities come when we live our lives on a mission from God. Our message is titled, Faith and Failure. And to introduce the study, here's Mark Jobe.
It's interesting in my mind that Jesus, although tired, although she's a woman, although she's a Samaritan, it's interesting that Jesus takes this opportunity in this, well, this awkward time, this bad season. He's tired. He's hungry. It doesn't seem politically correct, but you know what? He's a man on mission. And when he sees this woman, well, he's the Son of God. He knows he needs to speak into her life. Can I tell you something? There are people all around you, and maybe you're one of them right now, struggling with shame. I've discovered this, that when we're on mission, we look for opportunities to speak into people's lives. The more on mission you feel, the more you look for divine opportunities to speak to people. I think that a lot of us go through life and we just avoid people. We don't engage in people. We don't talk to people. But there are God encounters everywhere. This week, you have passed hundreds, if not thousands of people. And some of those people really needed to talk to you. Some of those people needed a conversation with you. You say, well, who am I? Well, you are someone. If you know Jesus, you have the power of God inside of you and the light of God inside of you. But we need to realize that we have something to give and that we are on mission. We should constantly be on mission. Constantly looking for those divine opportunities. And I was talking to someone about recently about looking for divine opportunities. And they made a point and said, you know, we are the divine opportunity. Wherever you go, you bring the presence of God. Whatever conversation you engage in, you bring the presence of God. Jesus was tired. It was an awkward situation. But nonetheless, Jesus engaged in this conversation. Number two, listen, effective ministry to shame comes not out of our strength, but out of our own weakness. You see, what I've discovered is, I love this about Jesus. It says, verse 6, it says, Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down by the well about noon. We find out that he was tired and he was hungry. Have you ever been tired, hungry, not in the mood, and someone comes and wants to talk to you, and you're like, ugh. But what I've discovered is sometimes our best engagement and ministry in people's lives is when we are also weak. And sometimes we think we have to have our act all together, be engaged, be strong, be full, be happy, and then we can help other people out. But you know, sometimes it's when we're weakest. Sometimes it's when we're not doing really well. Sometimes it's when we're tired that we, well, in our own weakness, that the biggest doors of opportunity open up. I want you to remember that. Because some of you think you have to have your act all together. You have to be very strong. You have to be really, really feeling it in the moment. But sometimes the times that God is going to use you the most are when you feel the weakest, the most tired, maybe the awkwardest moment. About a year ago, I had an emergency appendectomy. And I'm not a doctor guy, so I just like, no, my stomach, I know it hurts a lot, but it was actually, I was up kind of all Saturday night, and I was planning on preaching on Sunday morning, and my wife said, you need to go to the hospital. I said, no, I think I'll get over it. I don't know, this thing just doesn't. And she said, you're going. Said, all right. It's going to be nothing. So I show up to the doctor and he says, we got to put you in surgery in an hour. So they put me in, they did a surgery and they put me in a room with another guy, a young 20-something year old guy. And he was in there for kidney or liver issues. And I wasn't feeling good. I mean, this was before the operation. I was feeling bad. I was feeling in pain. I was feeling like this is not a good thing. This is not the greatest moment. I'm in one of those little weird gowns that you got to cover your back when you walk. And, you know, it's just you're not feeling like at the top of your game. You're not feeling great. But I figured God put me in this double room with this guy. So I started talking with him. Found out he had a lot of just issues he was working through, confusion, angry, 20-something years old. But he really opened up to me. We got to talk, and I said, you know what? God may have given me an appendectomy just so I'd be stuck in a room with you so I could talk to you about Jesus and pray with you. And so don't let this go to waste because this, you know, this took me a lot of pain to do this. And he actually shared how he was very angry and hadn't gone to church in a long time. But he actually really opened up and let me pray with him. And I felt like there was a connection there. Just this last week when I was in Quito, Ecuador, he Facebooked me and said, hey, can we talk? And so I haven't been able to get a hold of him yet, but I want to talk. And I thought, wow, divine encounters. Sometimes when you're weakest, God uses you in the middle of the weakness to realize that there's divine opportunities. And so I don't want anybody ever to feel like you have to have your act together. You have to be strong. You can't have issues in your life to talk to anybody about Jesus. Listen, turn to the person beside you and say, I have issues. But I want you to say this, listen, and the person's like, yeah, I know you got issues, man, mega issues. You want me to list those issues for you here? No. But here's what I want you to say to the person that you just said you have issues to. I want you to say, but God can still use me. But God can still use me. I want you to know that. That it's not, God's not going to use you after all your issues are done because you will be dealing with the issues until the day that you die. You'll be dealing with their issues. And if you wait to be used of God until all your issues are dealt with, you'll never be used of God. Number three, most pain of failure is covered with layers of self-protection that must be carefully peeled away. You see, here's the thing about people that have shame. People that have shame in their lives, they don't want other people to see their shame. So we become self-protective. It tells us in verse 9, this Samaritan woman said to Jesus, you are a Jew, I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you be asking me for a drink? I mean, she's tough. She says, hey, you're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. Why are you talking to me? And Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God that I have, you would ask me for a drink. You would ask him, and I would have given you living water. And she says, sir, you don't have anything to get water from. What are you talking about? She says to Jesus, basically. This well is deep. Where can you get living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? Now she's in his face. Oh, you're greater than Jacob now? I mean, here's a woman with an attitude who gave us a drink for himself and did his sons and his livestock. Oh, so you're greater than Jacob now, huh? That you're prideful Jew. Is that what you are? That's what I hear her saying. And Jesus answered, everyone who drinks the water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst again. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of living water. I almost see her rolling her eyes and saying, sir, oh yeah, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming to draw water again. Yeah, I'd like some of that water. One drink, I'll never thirst again. Yeah, give me some of that. That's the demeanor about this woman. She's a tough woman. He has to peel away the layer of coldness. Jesus has to peel through the layer of sarcasm. He has to peel through the layer of argumentativeness. He has to peel through the layers of dismissal. Let me tell you something about people that oftentimes are tough on the outside. Most people that are tough on the outside, it's because they're guarding something on the inside. You say, oh, she's tough. Oh, she doesn't need anyone. Oh, she wags her head and like, you're going to talk to me and I'll get in your... Oh, she's really tough. Let me tell you about toughness. Oftentimes, toughness of that kind is because I have been deeply, deeply hurt, disappointed, and have stuff inside of me that I am ashamed of, and no one is going to look at me again. No one's going to belittle me again. No one's going to hurt me again. So I'm going to guard myself. I'm going to say words that make people keep their distance. I'm going to be tough because inside I want to make sure I don't get hurt again. Yes. Right. I always remember that when I run into someone that acts super tough and dismissive and they don't want to hear, and I'm thinking, you know, they're probably closer. Oh, they need a breakthrough. Because inside their heart, there's something that God is trying to do. You may think, oh, they don't want to have anything to do with God. But you know, some of the people that you talk to that are some of the toughest and the most aggressive and just seem some of the hardest. I believe that some of those are the ones that are most likely to be touched by the finger of God. So don't give up. Don't back off. Jesus did it.
We are all works in progress. That's what we're discovering with today's message from our series called Help My Unbelief, Speaking to the Heart of Doubt. This is Bold Steps Weekend with Mark Job. With everything going on in our daily lives, sometimes it's difficult to catch an entire program on the radio. So did you know there are a variety of ways you can listen to this program? In addition to being on your local radio station, you can find us on your favorite podcast platform or through your smart speakers at home or in the office. You can even listen or share a link to these messages on our website, boldstepsweekend.org. These are just a few of the ways we're committed to staying connected to our listening family. And of course, we also want to connect with you on social media, so be sure to subscribe to our Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube channel by searching for Bold Steps Radio. Now, let's jump back into the second half of this important message. Mark will be sharing the next 2 points regarding faith and failure.
Number 4, you cannot get to the place of honesty and change until you go to the place of pain and failure. So Jesus talks to this woman and she's putting up all these arguments and all these things. Oh, you're greater than this. Oh, you do that. Oh, you do that. He says to him, so, okay, go get your husband and come. I don't have a husband. Oh, I love this about Jesus, of course, is that Jesus goes right through to the core issue of shame in her heart because he sees to the core issue. And he says, you're right, you don't have a husband. You've had 5 and the one that you're living with is not even your husband. Can you imagine this woman? Now, suddenly, he's gone to the core. Listen, when I'm talking to people, I do this all the time when I'm talking to people, and I love to engage people, even people that don't believe in God and people that, you know, are sarcastic and just, you know, they want to tell you how much they don't like God. I always say, oh, Holy Spirit, I don't want to spend all my time on arguments out here that don't get anywhere. Let me go to the core of their heart. I had a conversation last week when I was in Quito, Ecuador, because with this very intelligent young Asian woman, her parents were business people, and she came to me and she said, I heard your speech in chapel, and she said, I just want to tell you, I'm an atheist. I said, oh, okay. I said, why are you an atheist? Well, She said, I believe that religion is a crutch for weak people. And I've been in the Bible classes, but I believe that God and religion is for weak people that need a crutch. And I don't need a crutch. I have myself. I'm like, oh, okay. And so we started talking a little bit about life. And I said, so you don't believe in right and wrong, in truth or lies, in morality, infidelity in relationships? You don't believe any of that, do you? Oh, yeah, I do. I said, well, where do you get it from? Well, you know, there's good. Well, who determines what's good? You see, if there is no God, then there is no absolute truth. If there is no God, then everything is relative. She said, well, I believe, you know, if it's good for society. I said, well, you know, Hitler thought it was good for society to eliminate all the Jews. And the majority of people agreed with him about that. So he was a good man in your book, right? Because there is no right and wrong. You see, only right and wrong comes from a supreme being. If not, it's all relative. You want the morality of God without the belief of God. But I know that those are just arguments. We could argue in that way. But I said, oh, Jesus, help me. Because I know there's something in this heart. And I said, can I ask you what you believe in? She says, I believe in me. I said, I was praying, Holy Spirit, give me insight into her heart. I felt like the Spirit of God just said, okay, go there. And I said, you believe in you. I said, what happens when you disappoint you? What happens when you fail you? Because you will fail yourself. What happens when you don't get in the college you thought you were going to get into? When you don't get the grades you thought you were going to do? When you fail yourself, because if you are what you believe in, you ultimately will fail yourself. I said, people that I know that believe in themselves and they are the supreme being, when they fail themselves, they jump out of buildings. Because failure is just devastating. There's no remission. There's no redemption. There's no second chance. I said, I believe that deep inside you're very empty. And that you long for God because every person has a God-shaped vacuum. And you can try to fight it and intellectualize it and tell me that you don't believe in God, but I believe that the God of the universe is seeking to reach out to you. And deep inside, you are empty without this relationship with God. She was looking at me straight like this, this very intelligent, bright woman, and she just, tears started flowing down her face. And for the rest of the conversation, it was like a river. And I knew the Spirit of God was getting to her. You see, because it's not really about the arguments. Some of us spend too much time trying to argue intellectualism, and we try to argue philosophy, and we try to argue world religions. And I want to tell you, you can argue religion, but people don't come to Christ by arguing religion. You need to ask, God, help me go to the heart. Help me go to the heart. And I'm still praying for this young woman because I believe that God has a purpose and a plan for her. And I said, I'm going to pray that God will reveal himself to you. And she agreed to start reading her Bible and asking God to speak to her. And I believe that God is going to do it. So I'm praying for this woman. So if you remember, pray for this woman. She changes the conversation there. I believe that God always takes us to the hard places because unless you go to the hard places, you'll never find solution. Listen, there's a lot of people that do not go to the hard places in their life. Some of you are here today and you've come to this service, but you've never let God go to the hard places in your heart. The places of shame, guilt, brokenness, the places that are very, very protected inside of you. And I'm going to tell you, I know you've protected them, but listen, until you go to the hard places, you will never be able to have a major breakthrough because you don't change by avoiding the places of pain, hurt, shame, guilt, failure, and brokenness. You only change when you're able to take those and open it up to God and say, God, here it is. I invite you into my pain, my shame, my brokenness, my difficulty. That's when breakthroughs happen in our life. Yeah. And I close with this, the last point. You see, it's the Spirit of truth It's spirit and truth is the combination that transforms a heart full of pain, of failure, to authentic worshiper. You read in the latter verses that God, that finally it clicked in her. And she became the gatherer of many, many other people that came to hear the truth. Because finally, when God can get through the hard places of shame, and you open up and let God touch your heart, and God begins to do a healing, then you become one of the greatest voices for other people to hear.
You're listening to Bold Steps Weekend with Mark Job. Mark, there are people we will never see or meet who are listening today, and maybe they've been touched by what you've said. Maybe they're feeling a little bit like the Samaritan woman.
Yes, and you heard me say in this message, you cannot get to the place of honesty and change until you go to the place of pain and failure. And maybe that resonated with you, and you say, I am that Samaritan woman. You may be a man or a woman, but you relate to that sense of I've failed and I'm not sure how I can overcome this. And I'd just like to pray for you right now if you give me that opportunity, because I believe that that dark, wet blanket of shame covers so many people's lives. So, Father, I pray for that person right now that has been struggling with shame, that has led to doubt, that has led to unbelief, that has led to a separation from you. I pray, Father, that your love would break through right now in powerful ways, dispelling the shame. And God, that they would understand the forgiveness that's found in your Son, Jesus Christ, and for the first time, be able to look to the heavens once again with radiant faces. So I pray, Father, for that person right now, that you would break through the shame and that they would experience your love. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, amen. Thank you, Mark. Our messages are made available online thanks to our partnership with listeners like you who want to share these uplifting and life-changing messages with people around the world. So if you haven't already, we encourage you to visit our website and check out our message archive and all the faith-building tools and opportunities we have available at boldstepsweekend.org. In fact, one resource we definitely want you to see is this month's special edition of our Bold Step Gift. It's a book that will help you better understand the spiritual and ideological battles we face in today's culture. Written by esteemed author and pastor Dr. Erwin Lutzer, it's a powerful and insightful guide for Christians in how to engage effectively in the modern war against biblical values. And right now, we've got the author himself, Dr. Erwin Lutzer, with us.
All right. Thanks, Wayne. You know this man in the studio, and his name is Pastor Erwin Lutzer, a friend of mine. He's pastored in Chicago for many, many years. He's now pastor emeritus, but he continues to travel, do conferences, write, speak, and we're privileged to have him here in the studio with us. Erwin, let me ask you this question. You know, we're in a society where there's a lot of toxic beliefs, a lot of anti-Christian rhetoric. And there's a lot of Christians that are confused about how to respond. Sometimes we want to respond angry and don't know how to mix in that compassion and empathy. You want to talk to us a little bit about that?
It's so important for us to respect everybody, even if we don't respect their point of view. Mm. And we have to indeed speak the truth with love. And when it comes, for example, to those who struggle with same-sex attraction, what we have to do is to be welcoming, even when we cannot be affirming. Mm. But one thing I do emphasize is that the word love today is taken and used in non-biblical ways. Yeah. We have to understand that when Adam and Eve sinned, they didn't stop loving. They just started to love the wrong things, lovers of pleasure, lovers of money, lovers of themselves. So when it comes to love in our culture, we have to define it biblically. Herein is love, that you keep my commandments. So on the one hand, we have love. On the other hand, we have truth, and we cannot sacrifice the one for the other.
Oh, that's good. Thank you for that reminder. You're hearing from Dr. Erwin Lutzer, who's written a book called We Will Not Be Silenced. This is a clarion call for believers in our culture seeking to lift up their voice, being gracious but firm and not compromising.
To give your donation and ask for We Will Not Be Silenced, just go online to boldstepsweekend.org or give us a call at 866-535-5580. That's 866-535-5580. If you'd rather send a check through the mail, you can do that by writing to us at Bold Steps Weekend, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. Again, the address, Bold Steps Weekend, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. And then as we look ahead to the week, we want to invite you to join us for our daily Bold Steps program. Find it on your local station or simply go to boldstepsradio.org. Well, I'm Wayne Shepherd signing off and inviting you to join us again next time for Bold Steps Weekend with Mark Joe. Bold Steps Weekend is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.